he was doing that. So, all right, who'd like to give us a praise or prayer request from this past week? Going forward, all right, Becky?
I now have a divorce attorney.
Okay.
I have a hearing the 23rd.
Okay, so we'll pray for Becky on the 23rd with the hearing. Okay, so pray for Jed. Lord will get a hold of his heart. And okay, yes, Brother Dan.
Praise the Lord. We had 218 decisions in Beaumont, and we got home.
And amen.
Everything else all right, so thank the Lord for that. And prayer requests, my wife's colonoscopy is tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah, down at your.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's pray for Kathy with her procedure tomorrow at 11, and pray it down in Girard. Lord will bless that. So very good. Yes, Charlotte. Amen. Okay. Yes, very good. All right, so Charlotte praising the Lord for God's goodness and just asking prayer for her children, especially Pat with dealing with heart exercises and therapy. So yeah, so very good. Anyone else? Prayer request? Yes, sir. Right. Okay. 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 All right, so let's pray for several requests here. Pray for Amber's dad with a heart procedure on Thursday, and then Owen having an ear procedure on Monday, so tomorrow. So very good. We'll pray for you. So Lord will help give you grace there. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Sierra? Okay, all right. Very neat. Neat ability to use your position there to reach out, and we'll pray for Sierra and more opportunities of witness. So that's wonderful. Thought I saw another hand. Yes, sir, Charlie. Okay. 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 Wow. All right. So a lot there to recap. Jenny's traveling. She's gone today, so we'll miss her, but she's traveling back, so pray for her today. And then she visited her aunt, who has a son named Ben, who has MS. And so pray for him, and then also pray for the aunt as well, who fell and broke her neck. So pray for surgery on Tuesday. So, that's a lot. All right, anyone else to add to these? Yes, sir, Caleb. Okay. Hmm. Okay, wow. All right, let's pray for Brody's sister, Brooke, who's been diagnosed with cancer. And then you said Christian Geyer from the jail. So that pray that he would find a local church. Hope that he would love to have him come here. So good. Yes, sir. All right, very good, very good. So yeah, she was very much afraid that it was going to be like her first one, and did not go like that at all. And so she was doing a lot better. Did she have some regression because she was doing really well the first day? Did she kind of the pain kick in and kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, it's kind of some ways typical in that aspect. But so glad that she's able to get into the rehab facility in Girard. So we'll continue to pray for her and make good progress. Yes. Okay. Oh. Okay. Oh my. So the time draweth nigh. So, okay, we'll pray for Hannah, and she gets 3.5 weeks to go. So, it's good. All right. I appreciate your prayers for Elizabeth and Samuel as they're away and be traveling back this week on Friday. So, God's been good to us. We're here today, all of us, I think. So, last I checked, it's hard to check everywhere at once. So, we are dispersed. Okay, so pray for Blake's daughter, Ashley, traveling, and then let's remember Doug and Shelley. They're on a little trip as well. Glad they got to get away. So pray for their safe return. Anyone else? Okay. Oh, yes, that's right. So pray for the Coburnats. They are away for the week, so as well. Good. Yes. Okay. All right. Thanks for that update. Pray for Sandy. She has several tests. Prepare for her knee surgery. Got us on. Yes, Carrie. Okay, absolutely. So Carrie just asking prayer for a friend going through a lot of families, going through a lot of trials, health issues, and just for the right witness, the right words of comfort. So it's good. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, I am. Yes, I know when you see those big beams going up and they're lifting them up, and they got men directing them, and then they got to put them down. And you're like, "Oh, watch your toes, watch your head." So thank the Lord, they're doing it very safely and carefully, and they got a lot done in 2 days. So that was just 2 days of work there. So that's incredible. So see what God's going to do. All right, very neat. Anyone else? Yes, it is. It is really a praise. God's blessing. Yes, sir.
Pray for a country in the situation in the Middle East. U.S. and Iran, had a 21-hour meeting in Pakistan and decided nothing. So it's going to get even more tense, even more fighting. And pray for the military for protection.
Amen. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's continue to pray for our country and for our servicemen, and pray for the gospel to go forward through this, and doors open up, and things are certainly changing in the Middle East. And so, God, pray that God would use that to give a window of opportunity. So,
amen.
All right. Yes, sir. Come. Okay, yes. Very neat. So, yeah, let's continue to pray for our ongoing outreaches and visitation. And had several a good contact ourselves, and just being able to pass out the word, talk to people, confront them with the gospel, and that's good. Praise the Lord for that. Pray for this possible visitor today. So, very good. And continue to pray for the jail ministry as in going out in the jail even today. And the Lord will use the gospel. And pray that men would come out. I think the last couple times I've been there, they say there's about 50 or 60 men in the jail, and about 8 of them come. So there's a much, much bigger opportunity there that could be had if they would come. And so just pray for God to draw them. Make them see their need. So. Yes, Megan? Okay. Okay, yes, let's pray for Becky as she's asking prayer she leads charity, and that the Lord will help her to, and yeah, we're sure that some godly ladies here would love to even help you, give you some advice on that too, and how you can help her and everything. That would be good. So, all righty, very good. Anyone else? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Philippians. Kind of jumping back in, just a bit of review. The Apostle Paul opens up with a benediction of grace to them, and he is talking about his prayer life, how he prays for them, and he gives an example of what that prayer life is like and the kind of request that he prays for them. That really sets forth a template for the Christian life. Then he wants for them to understand his own situation. He gives a personal testimony of the gospel going forth. And through this, he is setting forth his desire for them to follow in his example. And especially when it comes to that creedal statement in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And so he's rejoicing that he is planning on coming, even though he's standing trial, could be executed. And now he begins to direct his attention towards them, and he calls them with the very first command. Anybody remember where that first command is at? We're talking about the first command in the book, so it's going to be in chapter 1. 1:27, that's right. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." When you begin to look at the other commands that are found in this book, you see that everything else can be organized underneath that one. That right there says, all right, let the gospel completely transform your life so that every area of your life and everything is oriented towards that. Towards that good news, towards reflecting who Jesus Christ is. And so this is the main thrust and where we need to keep our attention, our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ here. So there's an element of, we saw that this word conversation goes back to the word citizenship. So I'm going to summarize it this way. Live worthy of the gospel as citizens of heaven. requires standing fast by one Spirit, so by the Spirit of God. We're to stand fast so that we strive together as one person for the faith of the gospel and courageously face any opposition or suffering because God has graciously given it to us to tighten our bond with Christ as Paul's example of facing opposition and suffering show us. All right, so that's kind of a summary of verses 27 through 30. And so now we come to chapter 2. And he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. All right, so you see there is a bunch of ifs. How many ifs? Four, that's right. So four ifs in verse 1. Then he says, fulfill ye my joy that you do this. Ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And so he has four descriptions of the kind of thing that ultimately would bring great joy to the Apostle Paul. So it's very balanced, very beautiful in how he's bringing these things together. And what would be a word that you would use to summarize maybe verse 2? What would fulfill Paul's joy? I couldn't think of a better word than that one right off the top. Unity. He says, I want you to be like-minded. Have the same love, of one accord, of one mind. So four different descriptions of a kind of unity that he wants us to have. And so, in light of this, he is coming back to the theme of unity that he's already spoken of in verse 27. He said, I want you to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. But he's returning to this theme of unity in light of the suffering that they're experiencing. He says, it's given unto you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer, having the same conflict. There is a battle going on here, just like you saw in me and now you hear. I'm having the same thing too, is what Paul's saying. So, when you think about suffering, you think about what does suffering do? I believe that pain and suffering makes you feel alone. Yeah, there's an aspect of it makes you feel like life's meaningless, purposefulness. I don't know how to put it. Maybe I'd put it this way. Sometimes I've had certain kind of suffering and I've just felt thin inside. Like I could kind of just blow away, you know, just. It's hard to even describe that aspect. You can kind of feel empty. And, you know, there's an aspect you say, what are you talking about? I think there's an element of, you know, it's kind of like when you're sick at night as a kid. It does a lot for mom to come in the room, doesn't it? Knock on the door and to just be there with you. You know, just for someone to come alongside of you and to meet a couple needs. It does a lot for someone when they're hurting. That's why many times when someone's in pain, it's not so much that they need you to come and give them some new thoughts. You just have to be there. Just show up and let them know that you care and you love about them. And sometimes people are intimidated about maybe visiting someone in the hospital or visiting someone who's grieving after the loss of a loved one or, you know, receiving bad news. And I certainly remember early on in ministry being terrified. I remember calling up my dad saying, I'm on my way to such and such. What do I do? What do I say? And he was very wise and just said, well, the Lord will lead you. And realize you just, you get there and there's an aspect of you don't know what to say, so you don't say anything, and you realize that's all you need to do. It was just and you kind of stumble into it by accident to some degree. what is necessary a lot of times for someone who's hurting. And there's an aspect that he wants to answer, the aspect of suffering, and he says, there's consolation. There is comfort. And it's hard to, you can talk about physical pain. You can talk about I think the worst pain in the world is watching someone that you love being in pain. And you can do nothing to help them. Nothing to take it away. And they're suffering. And that's a very difficult. And yet God has a supernatural comfort that is designed and comes to us when we are in trouble. And so he says, on the basis of this word, therefore, he's saying, because you are enduring opposition and suffering, I want to turn your attention to the consolation. I think the biggest, where this word is used the most, consolation, the most extensive passage is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So the Apostle Paul is also writing to another group of believers who are hurting in 2 Corinthians. And he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. And here's a purpose, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so there is something here about this consolation that God says, He will be there. You say, what's going to happen if this happens, or this difficulty, or what happens if I lose a spouse, or my child does this, or whatever the aspect. We could dream up a lot of situations that would cause us great turmoil. But God says He comforts in all tribulation. And He's calling upon them to remember and to recognize this comfort. Not only is it this idea of consolation can have the idea of encouragement and comfort. Then the next word beside it is a synonym to it. If there be any comfort of love. I tell you, there's an element that says, you say, why does it mean so much? You know, it's, I'll pick on the Penningtons. One of the recent visits where I visit somebody and you walk in, and I realized as soon as I walked into that pediatric room that there was a host of doctors around them. There's about 4 to 5 doctors there, and they were giving them the briefing. In the morning, oftentimes it would take place, and they're basically telling them that their daughter has diabetes and what their life is going to look like. And you could just see on everyone's face, they were dealing with it. Not that they didn't know that that diagnosis had happened, but what was the consequences? And it was just, everything was hitting them at that moment. There's no words that you can say. Now, I think, I'm not trying to say that there's nothing that we do say. We always point someone to the Lord. And oftentimes that's done through prayer and just praying with someone. But oftentimes what they need is to know that God loves them. No matter whatever tribulation or difficulty is coming down on the scale, and all of a sudden it feels like your life is all out of cattywampus and everything, when you know the love of God, it brings everything back into balance. No matter what we're facing, we can endure it with the comfort that comes from God's love. There's an aspect of God will not bring you through any suffering in which He will not bring comfort to you. It's God's promise. Then He says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now this word fellowship is a beautiful word. It's from where we get the word from the Spirit. We call Him the Paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. This is a word for communion or sharing something. So in communion, we share of the bread and of the cup. with we share in the Lord's body. There's an aspect. So we are sharing with, so I think there's a double thing that's going on with this word. First of all, I think it's the communication of a relationship with God through the Spirit. So I have to understand within the Trinity, and I think it's helpful to look along these lines, that God the Father has always had a Son, because God has always been a Father. All right, so they've always been, and the Father has always loved the Son. And the Son is the exact representation of the Father. So if the Father is always loving, what's the Son doing? He's always loving. And so they are loving each other, and we say, what's going on in this aspect? And we put that two together, and it seems like from understanding the relationship between the Father and the Son, that it is the Spirit who excites the love of the Father for the Son. And it's the Spirit who enables the Son in His love for the Father. Not saying that they don't love the Spirit or anything, but there's an aspect that you say, well, why would you even talk like that? And that's part of it, is the reason how the Bible actually talks about the Spirit of God in relationship to the Father and the Son. So that the Father pours out His love towards us in giving us His Spirit. How do you know that you are loved of God? It's the Spirit of God in you that lets you know that you're His child. And so there's an element that comes to all these things. The Spirit of God, I just put it this way. No man experiences the love of God apart from the Spirit. Because giving of God's love and giving of His Spirit are the synonymous. And whom He loves, He gives the Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so we are all participating in the fellowship with God by the Spirit of God, and we all are sharing, meaning, how do I put it this way? Like at Pentecost, they all had a piece of the tongues of fire. It was a cloven tongue. You've got a piece, and I've got a piece, and we're all sharing the same one Spirit. So that you and I actually are connected spiritually to God, to each other. We are a part of the one body. It's an amazing aspect that is incredible here. And now, and I think this is Trinitarian, we're going to look at this in just a moment, consolation in Christ, love assumed and implied from God the Father, fellowship of the Spirit. So you've got now you have the fourth aspect, and he says, if any bowels and mercies. This has the idea, I think, of the kind of affection that God wants us to have now towards one another. Okay? If we have this comfort and this fellowship and this experience of love, then we ought to feel towards one another bowels and mercies. And we'll look at this aspect of pity and internal affection towards one another. And that's what's going to motivate us to be obedient to verse 2, to walk in unity and love. So let's kind of jump through this a little bit. The Apostle Paul uses the same terminology in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And I'll read that verse for you. If you can look here, it says, you can turn there, you can look at this as I read it. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So his parting benediction is Trinitarian. Now he doesn't use comfort, he uses grace, but love, and he identifies, he's talking about the love of God, and a very similar word to this idea of fellowship, communion with the Holy Ghost or through the Holy Ghost. And so I think that kind of sets a template here for us understanding that he understands love to be an aspect of God's love. And we see even in Romans chapter 5, he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And earlier in that passage, he actually talks about you are justified in Christ. So let's just look through these. Consolation comes from you and me being in Christ. So these little prepositions are very important and something for us to note and to read carefully as you read your Bible. And you see this idea of being in Christ, that has the idea of we've been placed into Him. So what does that mean? God wants for all of eternity to pour out His blessing upon His redeemed humanity. And the only way that He can do that is if we are in the Son. And as soon as you are in the Son, then all of the love and all of the blessing that will be eternally Jesus Christ now becomes yours and mine. Because He can't help but love the Son, and He can't help but love those who are in the Son. It all happens at the same time. And so there really isn't something that's true of the Son that's not true of us in some way or form. You say, He's the anointed one. 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. In fact, we call ourselves Christians. We're little messiahs, little anointed ones, little Christs. Just incredible. When you think about all of the position. You have a standing before God's throne that is just like the eternal Son of God who's never sinned. You have that right of access, privilege to enter into His presence. And you will have that for all of eternity because He ever lives to make intercession for us. So we really get a grasping of what it means for a believer to be in Christ. But being in Christ is kind of like taking a sponge and sticking it in a bucket of water. The sponge is in the water. But I want to tell you something. What is the water? It's in the sponge. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And so there's an element that says He penetrates and fills it. Being in Christ is more than just a declaration that's happened a million miles away in heaven. It is a personal reality in which you have been united with Jesus Christ. Just like a vine is a branch has been grafted into a vine, and now there is life penetrating into you because you are in the Son and the Son is in you. It's a beautiful thing. And what's amazing is Jesus said while He was walking on the earth, He said, when you see Me, you see the Father. Because who is in Him? The Father was in Him. The Father's in Me, and what did He say? And I am in the Father. So the same dynamic within the Trinity is the same dynamic, and you say, well, are you those? It's in both of those emphases are in John, the Gospel of John. So it's very intentional. It's very intentional to take, and we often focus in on the relationship that we have in the spiritual dynamic, but it's intentionally to let us know we have the same dynamic within the Trinity. God has brought us into this kind of relationship. Now, this is not in any way saying we're divine, okay? But we do get a divine nature. Yeah, we get a union with Him. I think that we're going to be blown away at what God has done for us because we are not worthy. Even if we'd never sinned and we were creatures, we would never be worthy of what He's done for us. But in light of our rebellion, it's just amazing. So, that's why the Scripture can say, when He raised Him from the dead, you were raised from the dead. When He died, you died. Christ is sitting at the right hand, that's where you're sitting right now. Because you're in Christ. There is this unity and that we can't even hardly understand. And ultimately we see the exaltation of Christ. We see that He suffered, we're suffering. He's exalted, we will be exalted as well. Then we think about the love of God that comes to us. Romans 8, he says, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You say, what does it feel like? What's the experience of being in Christ? What's the water? It's love. It's God over and over again saying, you are My child. I love you. This tribulation, this suffering, will not separate you from me. I gave my life for you. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am for you. You know, it's amazing. Your situation doesn't have to change. Your circumstances don't have to be altered. But when God whispers into your soul, I'm here. That's all you need. There's something about knowing that you are loved by the eternal God. That's what we are made for. That's what true living is all about. And we need to live our lives so that we more and more experience the love of God. You know what he says in John 15? Keep my commandments and abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, if this will open your eyes and see the book of John, oh man, one day we're going to go through that book. It is such a beautiful thing. God is love. You say, how do I doubt the love of God toward me? He says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You say, well, I don't feel it. You just need to look to the Word of God and believe it. Amen. What's that Word of God say? Jesus loves me. This I know, for I feel it every day in my heart. It's so, right? For the Bible tells me so. It's just that simple. You see it right there and you say, you know what? I feel like I'm separated, but I know I'm not. I am in the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's why Jude says, my brethren, keep yourselves in the love of God. Live to know and experience, to walk with this love, to have this assurance of this love. And the only way that happens is you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have access to the Father. What is it? Ephesians 2:18. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. A beautiful Trinitarian verse. Our position is in Christ in this verse. God's disposition towards us is one of love. Our connection is through the Spirit. And then what do we see here? The idea of bowels. We've already seen this in verse 8 of chapter 1. I long after you all in the bowels of Christ. Remember how we looked at that? I got all excited about that verse. Hope I'm excited again. He says, I feel something in my gut towards you, an internal affection towards you. And he calls it, this is exactly how Christ feels toward you. You want to talk about union with Christ? The emotions and the love that he was experiencing, he attributed to Jesus Christ. And he says, I have a connection to the heart of God. A pain in the heart of God in Jesus Christ is smiting my heart because we are connected by the one Spirit of God. Well, that's what we need in prayer, isn't it? Isn't that what prayer is all about? Getting before the throne of God and allowing the passion of God to flow through us? The love of God to move in us towards others? The will of God and the heart of God and the mind of God through us towards others? That's what God wants. He says, if you've experienced the comfort and you know the fellowship and you know the love, don't you have some internal feelings, some affection towards those others around you? Oh, see, what happens when God pours his love into us? You can't contain it. You can't, it fills up your cup and then it overflows. It's neat, the understanding of God's love. God did not need creation. He did not need us. he was satisfied with his relationship within himself, perfectly happy. And yet he wanted to overflow. He wanted to pour out of himself. And he created. You know, God created because he's love. When God pours his love into us, we'll overflow towards others. These idea of mercy. So the root, I think, idea here is, if you want to think root and fruit, I think that's kind of what's going on with these two words. Bowels is the internal affection that God's moving in your heart. The mercies are the acts of compassion that you have towards others. It's having you looking upon someone, seeing them in their difficult circumstance. They're suffering. They're miserable. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Because God has been, he's been compassionate upon you. He saw your need and he rescued you. He is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And so, when we come to all these aspects here, what a beautiful aspect. There's a commonality to these comforts. We all share in the Christ. We all share in the Holy Spirit. We all, according to chapter 1, verse 9, need our love to abound yet more and more. We all need to show compassion and bowels of compassion, according to Colossians 3:12. And so there's an aspect of the emphasis that's coming towards this. He's going to point to them that because every single one of them are in Christ, he's wanting them to be obedient to this. And then let's address the word if. I believe this is pointing to the surety of the solace that God has for them. The word if here is not because it's uncertain on Paul's account. He knows that this is true. But what he's doing is trying to call out and elicit a response from them. It's a rhetorical device. So that you would say, if I was as a preacher, I might say, don't you love God? I'm questioning it, but you're going to say, yes, I love God. Yes. So it's meaning for you to leap up within your heart and say, yes, I know that comfort. Yes, I've experienced the fellowship. I know what you're talking about, the Apostle Paul. So he's gathering all the truths, and they're all saying, yes, amen, amen, amen. And now he's going to say, now here's what to do about it. And there's an intensity here to the Apostle Paul. You see the repetition of this. Fourfold. He's intent on them being unified, and he calls it, fulfill ye my joy. Oh, the Apostle Paul's like, I just wish you guys would get in line so my life would be easier, right? Is that what he's... Come on, fulfill my joy. All right, don't think of this as some selfish motivation. This is Paul's pastoral heart here. He wants them to live a Christ-like life, to persevere in light of the suffering because of this expectation of joy. So what is joy in the book of Philippians? We're going to see it over and over again. Joy is a synonym for confidence. And joy always has a source. So joy is fueled by faith. So the flame of joy actually has a source called faith. And faith is built on the knowledge of God. So what he's doing is, I think there's an element that by bringing in this idea of joy, and we see that it's always rejoicing in the work of God, he's saying, you have a part to play, but I know it's God's work. You've got to submit and obey to what God's wanting you to do, and that's be unified, but I know that it's God who works in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And I've got confidence. I've got joy in my heart that this is going to take place. In chapter 2, verse 16, this joy is going to be a rejoicing in the day of Christ. He says, I joy and rejoice with you all. There's an expectation that they will be obedient, because of their connection to the gospel that we saw in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that he being confident of this very thing, that he, which began a good work in you. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to get in line with the working of God, and I know he's going to do it. And so ultimately he expresses this confidence. This is a Christ-centered, others-focused motivation. Paul will rejoice in God for them in the last day. That's his. He's going to rejoice in God. God, I can't believe what you've done in these people at the last day. That's his focus. You fulfill my joy. Keep moving forward and doing what God wants you to do. And ultimately, his rejoicing will be in Christ. Do I have time to... Man, I'm out of time. I will end it there. Rather than just give you a couple definitions and fly through the last little bit,